Hey, this is Sandy.
And Randy.
And we're here on AT Corner.
Being an athlete trainer comes with ups and downs, and we're here to showcase it all.
Join us as we share our world in sports medicine.
Welcome back to another episode of AT Corner. We are going to continue National Athletic Training Month with another education episode, and I would have to say this must be our most electrifying one.
I was wondering how you're going to start this.
You knew something like this was coming.
Yeah.
So we are doing a position statement series on lightning.
I didn't know that was coming. That's a new noise.
The drum roll. I figured it was a nice review, right? Like the lightning position statement's been out a while. Everyone's pretty good with lightning. But hey, some particulars, hey, it was a nice little review to kind of check out.
No, I think this is a really good one, especially because I feel like lightning, when it happens, you're like, oh, shoot, what's my palsy?
You see, exactly. Nice review. And also in the position statement, they were saying that like most lightning tends to happen around late spring, like late summer or early fall. So I was like, oh, well, this works out perfect.
Yes, we've had a lot of lightning in the last week. So
you know what? That's another thing, too. And like most people think of like Southern California, like, oh, like there's not a lot of lightning. I don't know, man. We've had a lot of it lately. So in this episode, we are going to discuss the NATA position statement on lightning safety. We'll discuss some considerations for lightning policy creation and then discuss the implementation strategies for the lightning policy.
Let's do it. This is a CU episode, so if you're interested in those CUs, make sure you scroll down the show notes below to see what the current plan is.
So, we have to start with the anatomy of lightning now, right? I mean, that's just where we gotta
go. What is it? What is lightning?
So, there's like different types of lightning, but the position statement really focused on what is termed like cloud to ground lightning, basically lightning coming from the ground or coming from the cloud meeting the ground. Right. So what essentially happens is, right, there's an electrical gradient between the clouds and the ground. Right. So the clouds are going to be more negative. The ground's going to tend to be more positive. Right. As we know anything about gradients, right, if it gets too big, something's got to happen to make that equal. Right. So in this case, right, like a static shock, just lightning's on like a bigger scale. So because of this gradient, there's what's termed like a step leader that begins to descend from the cloud and then meets a step leader rising from the ground. Basically what that is like a small little like invisible channel that forms that eventually the negative charge from the cloud descends down. So basically it kind of creates a little channel for the bolt that you actually see.
Science.
I know, crazy, right? All right, so this negative charge that descends in like in that little channel is what creates the flash. So it happens like super rapidly, right? That's why it's like light and like it's really fast. It illuminates. Mm-hmm. And then the heat from that actually heats the air so rapidly that creates the thunder. So like the temperature of like the lightning, basically the plasma, right? It's its own state of matter is like 5 times the surface of the sun.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
And hence why we have thunder, because the air is heated so rapidly, it expands quickly. It's like...
It's like when people say they hear lightning, and I'm like, well, technically, I guess you do hear lightning, but because it has a term, thunder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you could say you hear thunder.
Unless you hear, what if you hear the static from the lightning? Like you hear the electricity.
I don't think that's what's like happening. When people say they hear lightning, I don't think that's what they what they're talking about.
Yeah, speaking of hearing weird things, I actually had an athlete one time tell me they heard the ultrasound.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
You're like, you heard me turning it on and moving it?
No, they're like, no, I hear the sound. I'm like, oh, okay.
You feel the sound? Okay. Yeah.
All right. So that is the anatomy of lightning, right?
Positive, negative, boom, loud, hot.
Yeah. And there's a boom. That's true. The boom. So there's a couple of different types of injuries or like type of strikes that we are going to be kind of concerned about with lightning. So a direct strike. This is actually the bolt hitting the person, right? The actual bolt hits the person. But actually, this is actually the least common mechanism.
Don't tell coaches that.
No, we'll get into more of it. Actually, we'll get into more why the type of shelter you pick is important.
Oh shoot. Okay. Yeah.
So a direct strike is probably the least common, right? This is the actual bolt hitting someone, which might be a good thing because, right, that means people are pretty aware and like, hey, get away from being directly struck.
Yeah.
Maybe. That was my thought.
Are you talking about in general? Like, this is talking about in general, right?
What do you mean? Just people? Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty uncommon for someone to get hit by lightning. Like, that's a pretty uncommon stat. You don't walk around and be like, hey, my uncle got hit by lightning.
Hey, there was that person at the national parks.
Got hit like 7 times or something like that, right?
That's brutal.
Are you more likely after you get hit once or something?
Ooh, that's a good question. The position statement, I don't think, talked about it.
We'll have to do more lightning
research. But you know what? With most injuries, previous history is strong indicator.
They just have a force now.
Yeah.
They just have a...
The force.
Yes.
The next type of mechanism is a contact injury. This is basically injury caused by direct contact with an object along the path of the lightning's current. So like if you were holding a fence and lightning hit that fence, it's going to travel along it, right? Or if you're using indoor plumbing like a shower and a lightning hits a building, you could probably get an injury that way as well, right? So basically whatever is like touching where the lightning hit, that current still travels and it's that energy is going to travel.
So that's why they say you're not supposed to shower during a lightning storm.
Exactly. There's what's called side flash, which basically is the energy from an object that was struck that jumps to the other person. So not necessarily you're actually touching it. It's just the energy from it jumps from it. So this actually counts for about 30 to 35% of injuries. And this is why we are so particular about what's a safe place to go to and why a dugout is not. Yes, you're protected above, but if the lightning strikes on the field and there's a side flash and hits you, right, you weren't protected. So that's why a fully enclosed building is safe.
Or a car.
Right.
I've definitely had coaches who've tried to tell me that dugouts were safe.
Cool coach.
Yep. Sounds good. Except that it's not.
Yeah. But I like your analysis, I guess.
At that point, you're just like, this is your official notification that I said to go inside.
I'll tell you what, I'll also help with the scouting report since you're helping me with mine. Right. Like, I'll keep you posted. Hey, let me tell you what this pitcher's been doing wrong or doing well.
Yeah.
The next one is a step voltage. This is also known as a ground surface arc. Basically, a person's near an object that's struck and it intercepts the energy flow from the ground. So when lightning hits, right, it's still going to go to the ground and then it's going to spread from the ground. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're basically standing on the ground. Energy's basically travels up one leg through your body and then down the other.
Crazy.
This is actually the most common for injuries.
Do you know what happens after a step voltage?
Like injury-wise?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into it more when we start talking about what happens when you're struck by lightning, but it could be a lot of neurological stuff, cardiac stuff. Those are kind of like your big.
But the step voltage is the same as if you were struck directly.
Yeah. Those kind of injuries would still be about the same.
Got it.
I feel like, but there would be less because if you were struck, you might have more chances of burns because of the actual heat from the bolt, as opposed to this is the energy coming from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
And then last one?
And the last one is what would be an upward leader. So basically, this is being injured by that kind of upward energy that comes from the ground. So this is that channel that's created. Even if a strike happens like in another spot, as long as you're a part of that kind of upward leader, because there's multiple ones that kind of pop up and then the energy travels down one of them, you could still be injured from that energy.
Is that like when you're walking on a hike and then your hair starts to get super staticky?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I was kind of thinking.
I'm about to get struck by lightning.
Yeah, I think that's...
Because you are the bottom pole.
Yeah, that is the channel that's starting to form. Yeah. And then you have... There is actually one more. It was on a separate page, you know. This is a concussive injury. So lightning current causes violent muscle contractions or throws someone far away. Basically, the idea is like it's kind of like a grenade just without the shrapnel, right? So it's just force. It's the explosive energy that's So you were already kind of leading into it. So here's what happens when you get hit by lightning or lightning energy.
And the position statement also talks about what to do if it does.
Yeah, that's going to be right after that.
Yep.
You're picking what I'm putting down. See what you're doing here. You're mopping it up. Right. Some of it is kind of like what you would assume, right? Cardiac arrest, right? The heart stops. Arrhythmias, so you can go into an altered rhythm of your heart. You can see traumatic brain injury symptoms, so like short-term memory problems, attention deficits, difficulty processing new information. You could get moderate to severe headaches. You could have eardrum or tympanic membrane damage. Obviously, burns. There were two kind of signs that are unique to like lightning injuries. That is a choranoparalysis. Did I say that right?
I've only ever read it, so.
Yeah, that sounds right. We're going to go with that. Choranoparalysis, which is limb weakness or paralysis, pallor, and then diminished pulse, right? So what the position statement was saying was like to really kind of check like what kind of pulse are we looking at here, because it is going to determine, okay, do we need to do CPR or not?
What do you do with a choranoparalysis?
I think you're going to monitor like if they do have that diminished pulse and right, not breathing, CPR is going to be involved.
Even with a diminished pulse?
I mean, if they're not breathing.
If they're not breathing, that's one thing, but.
The next one is called a Lichtenberg figure. This is a feathering or serpentine surface dermologic marking. So basically kind of like get your like skin kind of like, it almost looks like it's starting to feather or like scaly, like kind of like a serpent would be.
Oh, really? I thought it was the little lightning strike that's like on your skin.
I think that's kind of what it would be, because I think that's what it kind of looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And this usually resolves over a period of hours or days, right? So these kind of conditions are transient, right? They will eventually, hopefully, kind of like start to decrease.
Unless you get them tattooed.
Yeah. But some of these, unless you get them tattooed.
I was wondering why you skipped over that so quick.
But some of these like symptoms of like the traumatic brain injury symptoms, can be like long term, right? You could still be dealing with that long after the actual injury.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, right, lightning safety is a big deal. We don't want to have these lasting issues for our patients.
Okay, don't stand out to get a lightning strike just because you want a cool marking on your skin.
Yeah, it's not cool. Honestly, the actual like mortality, like the death from lightning is actually pretty low. Like it's pretty survivable.
Oh, that's good to know.
But obviously there's long term consequences.
Right. Back in my day.
Yeah, back in my day. Like you already alluded to, there is some guidance on treatment. Right. And the first thing is, as with anything you talk about with emergencies, is you need to make sure the scene is safe.
Yes.
Right. And that goes obviously for the rescuer, right? You don't want to just start administering CPR in the middle of like a lightning storm in the middle of a field.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Right. So what is recommended is, hey, you can move the patient to a safe area prior to administering treatment, right? Some people are like, oh, I don't know if you can touch a patient. No, you can. It's not like a downed electrical wire, right? You can touch a patient after they've been struck. The energy is like basically gone.
The vessel for the energy, not actually the energy creator.
Yeah. So it's not like if they're sitting in like a downed electrical wire, okay, yeah, that's a little bit different. You can't just go up and start touching them.
Right.
Right. But in electrical storm, you can actually move them to a safer location. And really, you're not going to do any more damage. Like delaying treatment's not necessarily going to be significantly dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if there's like C-spine stuff, right, you need to be cognizant of that. But you can move the patient, right? And then once you're in a safe location, then you begin your primary and secondary surveys. All right. So, right, if there's no pulse or breathing, or right, you're going to begin your CPR AED. So that is basically about it. The biggest focus was it was funny how they described it was, like when you think of triage, like mass triage, right? Mm-hmm. You treat the living first. And then if they don't they don't look like they're living, right? Kind of save them off. Like, they're basically saying lightning's reversed, right? If they don't look like they're living, right, treat them first.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I thought that was, it kind of makes sense, but it is nice to get that refresher on, like, hey, you can touch someone that was struck by lightning.
No, that's nice.
Like, it is safe to do so.
Right. Have there ever been any athletic trainers who have dealt with lightning?
Ooh, that's a good question. I wonder.
Because I know there's a video circulating around right now that's about a soccer player who got hit by lightning.
Oh, really?
A ref took a video of it.
Oh, my gosh.
The ref didn't take the video. The ref was sharing the video.
Oh,
talking
interesting.
About the video.
Was this in the U.S. or?
I don't know.
See, one thing that
probably
I...
Probably not.
One thing that I was going to say, one thing I've noticed is I feel like... Like, outside the U.S., I've heard a little more liberal lightning stories. Like, I've had some athletes, like, when I called, like, hey, we're on a lightning delay, they were like, man, back, like, in, like, wherever their home was, like, man, we would just, lightning hit the lights, and we kept going.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that can't be safe.
Dude, lightning's actually, I feel like, at least we're California. California, that's all I have to say. We don't have that many lightning stories, but I feel like when I talk to people like in the Midwest or in the East, I feel like they're like, oh, lightning struck our house and now we don't have power for like half our house. And like it busted through like our electrical and like all this stuff. And I don't like that. That's not happened to anyone who I know over here. You know what I mean?
Well, it's because anywhere outside of California has weather.
Right.
We don't really have weather.
Right.
Those are elements right there.
Right. Which I think also makes it like a little bit more difficult for our coaches to understand because they're just like, I don't understand why you're kicking us off.
We're fine.
Yeah.
That's a good point about like the electrical that you brought up is like, so right, like our houses are grounded and like have all these faults in order to like, hey, protect the house. But how lightning travels, it's so fast. It actually beats the ground before it actually before it kicks in to like protect like systems. So it's actually faster. That's why there's still damage that occurs. It's crazy. Position statement said that. So this position statement's really interesting. It's pretty cool.
I feel like I've read this one multiple times, but I feel like every time I read it there's like
new information.
Yeah,
it just keeps getting better.
All right, so what do we actually do with a lightning policy, or like how do you create an emergency action plan for this?
So the position statement kind of broke it down. I think it's into like five kind of things that you want, right? Five criteria that you want into your policy and your EAP.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is my favorite, right? It's promote lightning safety slogans. And this one's
even
great.
Even NATA position statements are cheesy.
Yes. This one's great. When thunder roars, go indoors.
Love that.
I love that. That's pretty great. Just make sure that's in the policy somewhere.
Yep.
Okay,
so make it in the top big Comic Sans 24 point.
Yep, 100%. Right, the idea is, hey, let's kind of create some awareness here that this is a dangerous situation. Go inside.
You tell your coach, hey, lightning, and they're like, no, we gotta finish this. And you're like, when thunder roars, go indoors. Could you imagine if that's your comeback?
Yeah. Ooh. I might try to work that in.
Just keep giving them rhyming little slogans.
There were two other ones, but the thunder roar one was my favorite. All right. So the actual seriousness of this, right? You're going to establish the chain of command, right? This is important to understand who's making calls. Who are we communicating with, right? So you need to distinguish who's monitoring the weather, who's making that decision. Because remember, there are a lot of people that are going to go into implementing this policy, especially when we're talking about sport, right? The AT can't just necessarily roll out there and just be like, okay, we're done, right? There's going to be some communication to everybody.
Right.
All right. So, and depending on kind of what level you're at and what the kind of governing body's rules are, for the most part, right, we're going to communicate with the athletic director and the admin that's at the game, right, to ensure that they're going to initiate their process of the policy, right? Communicating with event staff, right? They have to be able to help get people in and out, right? Communicating with officials, communicating with coaches, right? It's kind of tough to just tell people to go inside and all of a sudden coach shows up, no one's out there.
Right.
Oh, we don't have a game? they won't like that surprise.
Nope.
Right. So making sure that we are communicating with people. I think one thing that I like to try to do is, right, and we're going to talk later on about the policy about like thresholds and like what's the criteria. Mm-hmm. Right. I like to give coaches a heads up and officials a heads up going into like, hey, here is what the criteria is. Mm-hmm. And as we get closer, I like to update it. Hey, you know, the storm, hey, we're about 10 miles, right? We're getting a little bit closer to like what our threshold is. Mm-hmm. So everyone should be somewhat aware whether or not they want to hear me remind them.
Right.
Hey, we might be stopping.
Right.
They are at least aware ahead of time.
That's what I try to do. Like for example, like just last week we had a softball game that, and we had no lightning in the weather predictions at all. Mm-hmm. But I'm like walking and then all of a sudden, like it's hot. So I'm taking off my jacket and then I go lightning back to weather. Hot?
I don't know. The way you described it is like lightning weather.
You're stealing my thunder.
Sorry.
I'm getting to there. So then I took off my jacket, get in the ATR. I come back outside and it's raining. And I was like, what? This is weird. And then I'm like walking and the like one side of the sky is bright blue. And I was like, oh, I was putting biofreeze on someone. And they're like, oh my gosh, look at the sky. And I was like, and I'm facing the blue sky. And they're like, wow, it's so scary. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I turn around and the entire sky is black behind me. I was like, oh, that's not what that side of the sky looks like. So basically like the dramatic change in weather where it goes from like hot to cold or like just like that big change, I was like, oh no. So then I went over and talked to my coaches ahead of time. I was like, hey, like it doesn't say it in the forecast, but this is like possible. Mm-hmm. And there did end up being lightning. It didn't come into our threshold, but then I was like, I'll just be watching. So yeah. I talked to the officials and I talked to the coaches ahead of time. Sometimes you can't always do that though.
Yeah.
Like one time, my co-ed and I were working a playoff game, like this state game,
uh-huh.
And it was raining and there was some lightning that was, we were like, oh, we should check the lightning. 1,800 miles away. That was the closest lightning, 1,800 miles away. And then we were like, okay, like, sounds good. We don't really have to pay too much attention, you know, except that it started right over top of us 3 miles away.
Oof. So that's, we're like, so unfortunate.
Yeah. So then we had no heads up to like get everyone out and like whatever. And so, and then end up being an hour delay.
I would love that.
Yep.
Love that. So along those lines, right, of actually monitoring, mm-hmm. right, there is actually criteria that we should be using reliable means to monitor the weather. And I feel like nowadays, like apps are pretty good at doing this.
Yeah.
Right?
They
like
really
there's
are.
The WeatherBug app, the My Lightning Tracker.
That's the one I use.
Yeah.
My Lightning Tracker is really easy.
Same. Those are really good. I mean, there are like services that do that monitor. There's like handheld devices that also do that. I've never seen one in person again. So California,
we had one.
Really?
Yeah. My last job. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think it worked, but I saw it in the drawer and I was like, wow.
Wow. I only saw a picture of this.
I know.
I remember seeing the picture of it in Principles of Athletic Training.
Yeah. It was even yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Classic.
Yep.
But I feel like, now with just how smartphones are, there's an app for everything and the apps are pretty solid at like actually detecting these and alerting you. So
I feel like the My Lightning Tracker is really cool because like I have had like my coaches download it before and just be like, hey, you're getting the same notifications as I am.
Yeah.
And I just set the radius to ours is we notify at 12 miles and then at 10 miles we go in. So I set the radius to 12 miles. So then I get notifications like a little bit ahead of time before we have to like go in. And then also it has a radar so you can see like,
oh, yeah,
where the storm is coming and like, uh-huh, you're like, oh, is it kind of just gonna pass us or is it kind of like gonna go right over top of us, kind of like the prediction. And obviously it's not always correct, but you can kind of get a good idea. And or like we're right next to, like we're in the middle between the coast and the mountains, so then it's like sometimes you get lightning like off the coast and then like in the ocean, and sometimes you get lightning like in the mountains. So like those are more common. Are those actually going to stay there or are they actually kind of coming into our territory?
I was going to say too. And then with the mountains there, right, you get the storm can get stuck right there and they just sit.
Exactly. So it's like, okay, well, kind of getting an idea of if it's in the mountains, is it going to stay in the mountains?
Yeah. You can also keep, like we were talking about, keeping an eye on the weather ahead of time, right? Your local weather services, NOAA, right? And a lot of times if you're seeing, like, hey, we have stormy weather coming, that's the perfect time to remind everybody, hey, by the way, we do have a lightning protocol. Do not be surprised if I tell you to go inside from lightning.
Also knowing where to go inside, because if you go outside and you're like, hey, coaches, you need to go inside, they're like, we don't have an inside. We're an outdoor sport. Okay, let me check the weight room. Let me see if the weight room's open. Let me check the gym. Let me see if the gym's open. Let me check the classrooms. Like, so those are some things. Or like, oh, they could go to their cars. Like, that's not as great because obviously they, if they're in practice, coaches are going to want to continue their practice, you know. Let me check the locker room. So there are some ways you can get around that.
Yeah, of course. So, and that's actually the next kind of criteria they're looking for, is right, you should be able to identify your safe locations. And a safe location is defined as a fully enclosed building with wiring and plumbing. Right, the reason it's kind of important for the wiring and plumbing is because the lightning current is more likely to follow the paths of the wiring and plumbing into the ground or the metal components of the building. So basically trying to keep it away from the people inside. If there's no enclosed building around, like you were saying, right, a fully enclosed vehicle with a solid metal roof and sides works as well, too.
No convertibles.
Yeah, do not. No, a convertible will not work. No. Even if it's closed, right? The soft top is not a fully metal roof.
Right. So usually if you're like in a game, you can tell the officials, they can help get people off, and then you can go tell the, depending on what game you're working, the score table or the whoever the announcer is, they can announce to the to the people who are watching.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Go to your cars.
Yeah, going to your cars.
You can't stay here.
Which is what we had to do a lot of times, because where I was at before, right, we didn't really have our own facilities, so everyone had to like travel to our, like, wherever our games would be hosted. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, I could put the teams in the locker rooms, but, yeah, like, okay, well, everyone else got to go to your car, or, like, the visiting team, because we didn't really have our own facilities. Hey, you got to go back on the bus. Like, that's what we got.
Right.
So you also should let people know what an unsafe location is, right? Like, structures with open areas. Like, these are your dugouts. Baseball dugouts.
And softball. I feel like depending on what your dugouts look like our current dugouts, our baseball dugouts are all wooden, but our softball dugouts have a lot of metal.
Oh, like are they like the fence, like the chain link fence deal? Mm-hmm. Gazebos, open press boxes, screened porches, right? These are all structures with open areas. Also, it is important to note indoor pools, right? Because the reason is the drains, the lighting, the heating, basically everything that is connected to that pool is also connected to components outside the building. So if the building gets struck, that energy can be transferred into the pool.
Get them out.
That's right. So if you have an indoor pool and you got coaches like, no, we're inside, we're good, we can be in the pool. No, bad idea. Also, just a caveat for our safe buildings, like we already kind of mentioned, like with like being in the shower during a lightning storm, right? Using plumbing or hardwired products does still pose some danger, right? So if you're like talking on a landline and the house gets struck, you could get injured from that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know too many people who still use a landline, but at your work, right? Works tend to have a lot of landlines. So so keep that in mind, right? So like, yeah, if you are going in a locker room, hey, like, guys, don't hang out in the shower area.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because, right, injury can still happen.
Right.
And then like we said, right, it should be, it's good to establish that specific criteria, right? Okay, there's lightning, but like you said, it's 1,800 miles away. Are we canceling this game, suspending this game because of that, right? It's important to have a criteria, right? The minimum that, like, hey, you need to get out is 6 miles. I feel like everybody goes, like,
eight
gives you
ten.
Some buffer. Yeah. Right? Everyone goes, yeah, 8 to 10. Really, they did a good job in this is, like, describing the 2000 Sydney Olympics. They had a whole criteria of like systems that they would go through. Like if it was at 12 miles, they would actually start the process of like, okay, we need to start getting people, because mm-hmm. the Olympics, you have to consider, is they're large venues, mm-hmm. lots of spectators, mm-hmm. right? Well, you got to move all these people and you got to mm-hmm. move them somewhere.
Right.
So they would start the system a little bit earlier. But yeah, I feel like 8 to 10, I feel like, is everyone's sweet spot.
Right. Right. I feel like six. Okay. Even
the storm's
just,
over,
just,
basically.
Right. Just yesterday. I got like our notifications were kind of like in the mountains, like right around that 12 mile mark. And then so I was kind of watching it. And then I told my coach, like, hey, it's on the outside. Like, you know, we don't have yeah. to do anything right now, but just like heads up. And then it had moved in just a little bit to like 11. I want to say maybe it got to 10. And I was like, you know, it, yeah. it kind of looks like it's passing, but. Well, like, it was, like, kind of, like, severing that edge. And then all of a sudden, it was at 5 miles. So then I went out, and I was like, hey, like, we need to go inside because it's at 5 miles. And then, and, like, these are new strikes. Like, it just started 5 miles away from us. And then literally from the time that it took from to get in from 5 miles, it was at 0.8 miles away from us. So then it's, like... I don't think we could have gone any like, you think 6 miles is kind of far, but yeah. how quickly it travels.
Yeah.
And yeah. that was just yesterday, like literally.
Yeah. And I was going to say too, like, again, like being in Southern California, like I don't feel like you appreciate this much, but like anywhere else that again has weather and has elements, like these storms travel fast. Like yes, it'll be all of a sudden on time. Like we experienced it.
In Virginia,
when we were at Shenandoah on one of our hikes, like mm-hmm. the weather was fine. Like you looked in the distance. Yeah. Clouds were rolling in. Okay. Maybe we have a little bit of time. No, they were like on top of you, like really
no,
fast.
They,
you're
we
like,
did not have time.
And now we're in fog. Yeah. What happened?
Now we can't see beyond.
Yeah. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
So these storms do travel pretty fast. So that definitely needs to be considered. And again, with that, again, that time mm-hmm. of how quickly storms can travel, it needs to be factored into, okay, well, that it's going to take time for us to move people and get them out of this area, right? So you got to factor that time in.
That's what I was thinking too, because I feel like you can't really put your policy at 6 miles and just leave it at that, because 6 miles, you kind of get the notification and you're like, oh shoot, like
I got to do something.
And then by the time you go out there, unless you're working with just one sport, I guess, like we work with a ton of sports. Yeah. Like yesterday, for example, I had to go out to baseball, softball, tennis, lacrosse, swim, and track, and our outdoor weight room and our football. Mm-hmm. So like just, and part of that's texting, you know, yeah. but part of it's also not, because it's, you know, people can miss a text.
Yeah. And right? and also too, right. They may not have their phone right with them or.
Right. Right. And like, depending on how many athletic trainers you have, because like maybe one athletic trainer is going out to some sports and yeah. another athletic trainer is going out to some, or, you know, so you can't just be like, oh, it's 6 miles. Like, let's get in. It's more like, let's give a heads up at however many miles you yeah. choose, and then go in for at sure. however many miles you choose.
For sure. Right, so even that safe area counts for the spectators too, right? Mm-hmm. Letting them know, like if it's a game environment, like, hey, you probably need to just go to your cars or have a designated spot for them. All right, what do you do with the other team? Do they have visiting locker rooms or do they have to get on the bus? And then basically what you're looking for that criteria to return to play or return to practice is if there's no thunder or lightning after 30 minutes, then you may resume, right? This gives mm-hmm. you about 90 to 95% confidence that lightning will not occur. So there is still that 5 to 10% chance that it still just might happen.
Well, I mean, like a new storm could
pop up.
Yeah.
But also they like it could be fairly blue skies and lightning can still happen.
So it happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And then it started raining and then it started hailing.
Yeah. So
lightning weather.
Yeah. The best part is when you're at minute 29. All right, hey, we're looking pretty good. Dang it. Or the stopping starting. That one sucks.
Yeah.
Like we go out there. All right, cool. Here we go. In a couple minutes. And then all of a sudden. All right, well, let's go back inside.
Yeah.
I remember, I think the most interesting lightning situation that I've had is there was one year we had like lightning before our women's soccer match.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, right? Cancel. Like we had to suspend the game. Mm-hmm. And again, we didn't have our own venue, so we're at the mercy of the actual venue itself. And mm-hmm. to protect their fields, because it was also like pouring rain,
uh-huh.
the venue said, okay, we're done. Like the park's closed. Well, we can't have a game then, even though like lightning stopped and theoretically we could have resumed, but they're not our facilities and the facility closed. So we had to cancel that game.
Dang.
And literally the next year, same team, we had lightning.
Did they bring it?
I think they brought it, but I went up to, because one of the assistant coaches was the same as last year, and it was like, man, you guys are going to hate seeing me, but we have lightning. Yeah. I can't remember if we had to cancel that again, too, because of the park.
Mm.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like we might have. I don't know. I don't remember. We might have canceled that one too because again the park just said, "Yep, we're closed."
Yeah. Well, you also have to look in your conference, or not your conference, like your association mm-hmm. of your setting, because like we have a constitution that says like a minimum lightning policy for everyone. Even though we also have the NATA position statement, yeah. So you might have like an NCAA. Or you might have like a, I don't know if NJCAA, is that what the junior colleges?
The rest of the countries.
The not California colleges. Ones. Yeah. So I mean, look into that. I think high school, probably CIF, you think has one?
Yeah, CIF probably has one. I know NCAA has one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, again, they all follow basically the same. They're just, it's basically kind of repeating the position statement. But like I said, most people already kind of have their...
We didn't talk about what to do if you start feeling static.
Oh, yes, that's true. Get as low as possible.
Yes.
Well, ideally, get to a safe location ASAP.
Well, not as low as possible. You don't want to lay down because it disperses your
surface. You wouldn't want to lay down curled?
Nope, you want...
Or like tuck?
You have to crouch.
Oh, okay.
And like with your hands over the back of your neck... And your heels off the floor. The least amount of you on the floor as possible. Okay. So just the balls of your feet. So like this is like if you're out and like...
In nature.
And you feel ecstatic.
Yeah, don't go under a
if
tree.
If you start becoming an upward channel. What is that called? A upward
step
leader.
Yeah, like an upward
leader. Yeah.
Nice.
You have an action item for this? Oh, I have a story.
Oh, go for it. Go for it.
So, it's not that exciting, but we had a baseball game.
good way to sell it.
That we had I was like watching the lightning, and I had literally notified all of the officials and our coach, and like I'm just like sitting there watching the lightning, and it is literally teetering. On
oh my gosh.
If I have to call this game or not. Yeah. And I was like, please. We are literally... I think it went into extra innings. And I was like, please. Like, can we just call this? So then...
Yeah.
Or not call this. Can we just finish the game? Because we had two more outs. That was it. Like, it was the last inning that it was just very... Like, I mean, it was... There was lightning, like, kind of creeping for a while.
Uh-huh.
But then it was, like, the last inning that it was, like, really, like, bordering. And it was, like, just, like, right on the border of our policy. And I was like, can you please just stay... Like, keep it there just for one more. And then someone... And then they were, like, going on, like, a two-out rally. And I'm like...
Of course.
Can we not, like...
Can we stop?
The score is the score. Just finish the game. And I don't want to call this game with just one out or two outs.
Yeah.
Because like it would just be so much easier if you just finish it and no one be mad at me. Yeah. Right.
For sure. For sure. Action item. I would say, have a plan. Make sure that plan is very well communicated. And you know, at Lightning, you know, a part of your plan, you should have like an actual EAP that lists out, okay, where are our safe locations and everything like that. So have a plan and make sure that plan is often communicated.
And when you travel with like football or another sport, whatever you travel with, make sure you know what the policy is over there. If the weather is being kind of funky.
Yeah, that's true. Which, I mean, I feel like as the host, that should be communicated too.
It's not always brought up as host.
No, it's not, right? But I'm just saying, from like when we talk about hosting, right, that should be brought up like, hey, it looks like we might be having lightning today. Just as a heads up, here's where, what we do. So, right, so there's no questions behind it. I remember for track, it was our conference meet. And right, it was another school that was hosting, and thank God it was them, because that's a pain to deal with, especially when it's like a conference meet. So there's a lot of people, a lot of schools there, a lot of bodies.
Right.
And yep, lightning in the mountains that we were pretty close to. So we had to shove all these teams into one basically like gym athletic facility.
Oh man.
Oh gosh, it was wild. It was a cool experience, but it was wild. And my favorite is you have people who like are kind of listening to the rules, but not. So they're like not in the building, but I'm under the awning. Just go inside, dude.
Nah.
Just go inside. I get it. It's hot and stuffy, and it's a bummer of a situation. But just go inside. So I'm like, man, I felt bad for that host school because again, you got to deal with it. Yeah. You know?
Right.
So everyone's yelling at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't get it. Like literally, the people who don't follow, they just don't see the value in it. So that's. That's what's happening.
Those would be the first people, though, I feel like that would complain if something bad happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't keep me safe.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We should do another story episode on weather.
On weather? Yes, we should.
That was a fun one when we talked about weather. We should. I'm sure people have more weather stories. So if you have any weather stories, maybe send those in.
I feel like I'm starting to lose some of my weather stories.
You are. You don't get indoor weather.
No, I work inside now. I work inside.
All right, so this is a CU episode, so make sure you scroll down the show notes below to figure out more information about that. We do have references. It's just a position statement. So those will be on our website. And then if you guys are new, we do every other episode as education or stories. This one was an education episode. Next week, we are going back to our stories. I believe we are doing a transition to practice. So if you have any stories about good things or not good things,
real things.
Yeah. What you were prepared for, what you weren't prepared for your transition to practice, make sure you submit those. And then you can email those to atcornered@gmail.com. And lastly, we have a Facebook group, facebook.com/group/atcornerpodcast. You can join with just one question. Where'd you hear about our podcast? And you should automatically be let in. So if you want to hear more about people's lightning stories or lightning experiences, policies as and such, those will be in our Facebook group along with our episode thread. And I think that's all I have.
Perfect. Thank you for helping us showcase athletic training behind the tape. Bye.